views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio, CRN Digital Talk, and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and creativity, because every week on the show, we have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. And remember, you can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Stitcher, all the places. And you can also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And please also follow my brand new Instagram account filled with lots of weird and wonderful adventures that I'm on in my life, as well as some really cool art. So Instagram, The Lucid Planet. You can also go to the website to find out how to nominate yourself or someone else to go on the show, how to become an advertising partner to our extensive audience across over 10 million homes in the U.S. And I also have some big announcements to make about 2017 very soon. So stay tuned for that. And on that note, woo, it's Halloween week, which is, of course, my favorite holiday. It is traditionally, you know, a pagan holiday, and we're going to talk today about the deep spiritual roots of Halloween and also kind of the evolution of the various traditions that we now know today. So it's going to be a really fun show, and to do this, I'm thrilled to welcome Judica Illis, who is an authority on witchcraft and the magical arts. Isn't that cool? And we're going to discuss magic spells, ghost stories, and how to make Halloween a night that is fun and also personally empowering. Now, my guest today, Judica Illis, fell in love with the magical arts as a child and has been studying them ever since. She is the author of numerous books about traditional spirituality, witchcraft, the occult, including the Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells, the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, the Big Book of Practical Spells, and also the brand new Wiser Book of the Fantastic and Forgotten, which is a really cool book of stories that I just finished and finished reading. And we're going to talk about that today, too. So on that note, let's please welcome Judica to the show. Welcome, Judica.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kelly. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to have you on celebrating our favorite holiday. I liked what you just said before we came on the air, which is that it's Halloween every day for you.
Yes, it is.
I love that. So I would love to know if you could share a little, as it should be, right? So I know you've been interested in witchcraft and magic for a really long time. How did that start?
You know, I get asked that all the time, and I really don't have an adequate answer other than I was born this way. You know, I was wired this way.
Yep.
I have just always been fascinated by the magical arts. I had a mother who read me fairy tales, and, you know, from the get-go, I always identified with the witch.
Yep.
I thought Hansel and Gretel was a terribly scary story because, you know, the witch died. I thought they were dreadful children.
They had it coming.
yeah, they did. Bunch of rude kids. I don't know why, other than that's just how I am, and I'm the youngest in my family, And so I have a much older sister who brought home tarot decks and astrology books, and I was just hooked.
I love
totally
it.
Totally hooked.
I'm the same. I feel like I'm a gypsy. You know, I'm like definitely have those gypsy roots, and I'm really into my cards and all my like weird jewelry. And, but anyway, but I think that's totally natural.
You know,
I think a lot of us.
It's funny that you say that. It's funny that you say that because the Harry Potter movies, one, you know, the only, you know, Bellatrix is sort of the only witchy witch because the kids at Hogwarts, they don't have weird jewelry.
They don't.
And I think that is, you know, that is how, you know, if you're looking to find the occultist in your midst, keep an eye out for the interesting jewelry because, you know, we are magpie people.
We are shiny.
Yeah, shiny. Exactly. And so I've always thought that was so interesting because even in a movie, you know, in a movie series where, you know, everybody's a witch or a wizard, they still had to bring in, like, you know, the wicked witches who were dressed in black and had jewelry.
Totally. And that makes me want to ask you, you know, do you consider yourself a witch? And what is a witch outside of kind of our very narrow pop culture understanding? How would you describe being a witch or witchcraft?
I'm very conscious of language, and I get asked that question a lot. I have a book called The Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, and in fact, that is the opening chapter is, you know, are you a witch and what is a witch? Because the word witch is used, you know, it's one word and it's used by so many different people to express a lot of different concepts. And there are, you know, other languages, and this is also in the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, there's a dictionary of witches in there. There are other languages where they will have very specific words for specific kinds of magical practitioners, but we don't have that in English. So when someone says, are you a witch? I always turn it around and say, how are you defining witch? Because if you think a witch is, you know, an evil, horrible person who has made a compact with Satan and eats babies, then I am like, I am so not a witch. You know, if that is your concept, then no, I'm not. But if to me, and there are other definitions, but to me, a witch is someone who is a student of the mysteries of the earth, the mysteries of the elements, somebody who tries to live in harmony with all the natural forces and tries to understand them. The word witch is related, you know, etymologically related to root words for wisdom and wise.
Yeah.
And this is true in a lot of other languages, not just in English. So, you know, the witches are the wise people, the people who, you know, the inquiring minds who want to know.
Yes.
And, you know, in that context, absolutely. And, you know, to me, it's always been a very positive word.
Yes.
I do know that it is not for everyone. And so I'm cautious. And I, you know, in the history of the world, suggests that people should be cautious.
Exactly. Well, that was the next thing that I was going to bring up. You know, I watched one of my favorite Halloween movies that I watch every year last night, Hocus Pocus. But I was thinking about this show in the context of that, and I was like, wow, the witches are almost always portrayed as kind of evil and bad. And like you said, want to eat the children's souls. And there's been so much persecution.
It's actually the other way around. The history, I know that fictional witches are, you know, people have to be afraid of fictional witches. But in fact, historically, it's the other way around. You know, people who identify as non-witches have persecuted witches.
Yes.
And, you know, we could talk about how much of that is just misogyny and how much of that is, you know, dislike or fear of the magical arts. But, you know, that's a fact. It's not actually the witches who are persecuting other people. It's the other way around.
That's why I really like that meme. You know, we're the granddaughters, the great-granddaughters of the witches you couldn't kill. Ha ha.
Yeah, but, you know, we're also the great-granddaughters of the witches who were killed.
Absolutely.
You know? So, you know, that doesn't mean they didn't leave children behind or, you know, we probably a lot of us are the great-granddaughters of the bystanders.
And that's true, too.
Yeah, and you know, for all we know, the judges also. So
yeah,
you know, there's a really good movie though. I Married a Witch with Veronica Lake, which starts off with I Married a Witch of Veronica Lake. It's a fun movie, and
cool.
It does start off with the witch persecution, but it's a romantic comedy. It's an old romantic comedy, and the witches. You know, it's totally not historically accurate. You know, no witches were burned in Salem, but it's a fun movie. And the witches kind of get their own back.
I like that. I'll definitely have to check that out as I'm on my little Halloween movie spree. And we're going to talk much more about Halloween, which is the best holiday ever, and how far back all of these traditions go. Because one thing that I find really interesting is the way that kind of the victors write history. And, you know, we live in this crazy world where everything feels very out of balance. And so we have these commoditized corporate holidays, and we have all of these very stereotypic depictions of the mystical. But that's changing, and we're kind of getting reconnected back to our tribal, ancient, mystical roots. And I think that's why Halloween is so interesting. And we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, that was just a little teaser, Judica Illis is going to share with us about the spiritual roots of Halloween and kind of how the rituals have been translated into the modern era. So stick with us, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Introducing The Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit The Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Judica Illis, talking with us about the roots of Halloween, witchcraft, and more. But before we continue, I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you, Judica, to find out about your many wonderful books that you have and also the workshops that you do.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. I'm all over the internet. My website is myname.com, www.judikaillis.com, JUDIKAILLES.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter.
Perfect.
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm literally everywhere.
Awesome. I love it. And so let's talk about Halloween. Halloween, like you said, Halloween is every day of the year for you. Tell us a little bit about.
And it's also a really special day of the year too.
Yeah. So tell us about
October 31st going into November 1st. And, you know, the author M. Scott Peck said that anything of significance has multiple roots. And that is true of this holiday. At its most basic, this is the time, and if you want to imagine, like, you know, here we are in the realm of the living, but imagine there are other dimensions or realms, the realm of the dead, the realm of the spirits, you know, who knows, realms we don't even know about yet. And it's like a catering hall. Imagine like a, you know, a hall with different rooms with different parties going on, and the doors are closed. But at this time of year, the doors are thrown open. So if you want to crash a different party, this is the time to do it. It's the time when the veil between the worlds gets really thin. And I think, you know, this time of year is a time where people commune with those inhabitants of these other realms all over the world. And so we can say that Halloween has Celtic roots, and it does. And we can say that it has Roman roots, and it does. But you'll see similar themed festivities all over the world. And I think it's in response. Our ancient ancestors who are maybe, you know, more tuned in to the environment,
Less
distractions than we have. And so they're recognizing something that is just inherent and innate in the world at this time. It is the best time for spell casting. It's one of the best times for divination. Best time to go out and make a wish and, you know, transform yourself, because that's really what magic is all about, self-transformation ultimately.
Yes.
So it's wired into the world. And then the ancient Celtic calendar was organized so that there were two new years. It was essentially, you know how we have one new year in a 12-month-ish period? Well, they had two. May Eve or Beltane was the beginning of the bright half of the year. And across the calendar on the other side of the circle, Samhain, October, you know, November Eve, the last night of October going into November 1st, is the beginning of the dark half of the year. And that's literal. If you know, in the Northern Hemisphere, you look outside, you know, the days are getting longer and it's dark a lot. But it's also the time when the dead souls return to visit. And the spooky movies are all scary ghosts, but ultimately they're also our ancestors and they're our loved ones. And there are people who are coming to, you know, maybe check in on us and see how we're doing. Very much in the nature of the Mexican Day of the Dead, which is on November 2nd. November 1st, yeah. Yes, my calendar is off my head. I don't know what day it is. But so that's one of those roots. And a lot of the fun aspects of Halloween come from those pagan traditions. The jack-o'-lanterns and the going out at night trick-or-treating, that's very much from the Celtic side of that family. And then it's also the feast day of the Roman goddess Pomona, the Apple Queen. The Romans were the first to transform wild apple trees into fruit-bearing sweet trees. They were the ones who figured that out. So, you know, when you have your apple pie or your apple donut, we have to thank the Romans for that. And Pomona was the goddess of the apple. And a lot of our traditions, bobbing for apples, they're actually vestiges of old sacred divination rites. And so that's, you know, why all the apples at Halloween. That's why. And, you know, and as centuries went on, we pick up traditions from here and there, and they finally emerge and, you know, become American Halloween, which is both beloved and controversial all over the year, all over the world.
So where does the candy come from? Is that just like Nestle? Has that always been part of it? Is that new?
No. The tradition of, you know, the ghosts come home. And so, essentially, you know, it derives from offerings to spirits. It's also the night that, you know, the fairies come out of the fairy mound and write about. It's the wild hunt of flying through the sky. There are a lot of volatile beings out on the road who you might want to pacify, and a magical way of pacifying these beings is to meet them at the door, because you don't want them to come in. So you greet them at the door, you know, they stay out and you stay in, and you give them something sweet. You know, for people who are raising ghosts, if you think your ghost is going to be cranky, you know, let's say at a seance, a really traditional thing method is to give them honey, because you want to sweeten their nature. And so the candy comes from that. And after a while, you get that gaming aspect where, you know, you have people pretending, you know, you're no longer giving it to the actual ghost or, right. If we had a lot of time, we could sit here and speculate about possession rituals and all sorts of things. But it becomes children being given these candies and fruits and toys and things instead.
Yes. Now, what about the very longstanding pagan ritual of girls dressing really slutty? Is that part of it? I've always wondered about that.
Halloween used to be a really sexy holiday. Back in the Victorian era, Halloween was like a Valentine's Day. Oh, in my book, 5,000 Spells, you'll find some really romantic rituals for Halloween. And if you look at old Halloween postcards, going back to the beginning of the 20th century, you know, rather than the slashing stuff we have today and the gore, a lot of it was romantic. All sorts of rituals to find out who your true love would be, you know, at midnight, you know, naked in a dark room lit only by a candle, you know, with your back to a mirror, and then at midnight turn around and look at the mirror, and allegedly you'll see your true love in the mirror.
I think I need to try that one. That sounds fun. That's cool. Okay, so it's always a sexy holiday. I just think it's really it's gotten
and it's
hysterical.
A fun holiday.
I'm just really excited because here in Denver, I was living in Southern California when I was in school. And now that I'm in Denver, every Halloween, it usually snows and it's freezing.
Wow.
And so it's so depressing because you can't wear your slutty costumes. And but it's 80 degrees right now today here in Denver. So really excited.
I lived in Los Angeles for many years, and Los Angeles is a great Halloween city.
Oh, it's the
even
best.
Adults dress up.
My gosh, the parade in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
My gosh.
It's not just for children. And of course, Halloween is not just for children. But I think one of the really nice things about Halloween is it shows you the joyous side of witchcraft and magic. And that's too often forgotten. Like, you know, in all these movies, and it's all tragedy or horror, or, you know, but there's fun, and fun is good.
It's lighthearted, and I think that's what we need right now with the world as it is. There's so much pressure buildup and intensity, and it's nice. Yeah. It's like a little pressure, this crazy vomitous like election going on, you know, so it's like really nice. I know.
Yeah.
So it's nice to kind of have a way to release the pressure valve. And what I was thinking is, when we come back from the break, maybe Judica would share with us some rituals that we can engage in, or some little things we can do to make Halloween an empowering night to have fun, but also kind of pulling in some of these traditions. So what do you think? Do you have some ideas for us?
I do.
Awesome. Okay, so you're listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and Judica Illis and I will be right back to tell you what you can do to make your Halloween extra special, possibly romantic, definitely slutty. Stay tuned.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together as technology uses the healing and psycho-spiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech chair.
The Soltech Lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to soltechwellbeing.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-C, wellbeing.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I have author and witchcraft expert Judica Illis here today on the show talking with us about Halloween. And when we left off, I was asking Judica if she had any ideas for rituals or practices that you can do on Halloween in addition to, you know, dressing up in candy and all that to really maximize the energies of the night. So Judica, I would love to hear some suggestions from you.
Well, get dressed up and get candy before midnight, because midnight is that witching moment. And essentially, any spell, any petition, any wish, Halloween, any kind of divination, card reading, whatever it is, Halloween is the perfect night to do it. It's a night of power. And if you're trying to access beings of other realms, it's just essentially the phone lines are open. It's just easier than at other times.
Awesome.
That said, there are things that are associated really specifically with that night. And as we were discussing before, there are, you know, a whole genre of romantic spells that essentially, you know, you have to be in a room by yourself at midnight, looking, you know, ideally naked, looking backwards into a mirror, you know, and you're going to see what you're going to see. And if you do look at old Halloween postcards, you'll see these things illustrated. But there are other things you can do also. There is a divination ritual. I'm going to give you some quick, simple, inexpensive things you can do. And by divination, maybe you have a question. Maybe there is some question you really want to know the answer to. And, you know, and maybe this is a private question and you don't want to ask your local fortune teller or palm reader or whatever. It's just, you know, your secret question. One thing is to, at midnight, it's believed that midnight, it's a moment of the oracle. The really traditional thing to do is to go to a crossroads. And a crossroads is where roads meet, and it's a place of super magical power, just really concentrated power. And, you know, stop up your ears, you know, one way or another, like put your earbuds in or something, and, you know, until you get to the crossroads at midnight. And allegedly, the first words you hear, whether they're from a person, a radio, something, will be, that's the answer to your oracle.
Ooh, I like that.
If you can't get to a crossroads at midnight, the trick then, it's better with the radio than with the TV, although you use whatever tech you can have. Play around with the dial a little bit so you're you know, switch that dial around so you don't know exactly what station it's going to be. At midnight, turn it on and see what the universe has to tell you. And just remember, nothing is graven in stone. If it's good news, that's great. And if it's bad news, it doesn't mean you're stuck. It's a warning advising you that maybe you need to adjust things so that, you know, bad luck doesn't happen. Because these things are, you know, oracles are intended to make our lives better, not to, you know, make us feel like our lives are over.
Yeah, for sure. We always have free will.
You do have free will. That's right. And you know, and you want to, you know, transform your life and use it, you know, use your magical arts, use your magical power to create the life that you want, not to feel like, you know, you have to be stuck with the hand of cards that you've employed. Another thing to do is to go out under the moonlight if you can, weather permitting, if there is moonlight. Go out under the moonlight because it's like the Addams Family moon bathing. Mm-hmm.
It's a new moon. Sorry to interrupt you. The 30th is a new moon.
Yeah.
So the 31st, there might be a little sliver.
It's a waxing moon then. It's getting in the waxing moon. The waxing moon is good for anything that you want to grow.
Yes.
Money, love, hair. But even if you're not thinking like, well, you know, people who want to grow their hair, you cut it when the moon is waxing. If you don't want your hair to grow, you cut it when the moon is waning. You know, the waning moon for things you want to decrease, like debts, you know, increase money, decrease debts, increase, you know, good love, decrease bad neighbors.
Yeah.
But even transcending that, it's just the power of the moonlight, that magic power of the moonlight. If you want to raise your own psychic vibration, if you just want to regenerate a little, maybe you're feeling a little tired or drained, or you want some more of that Halloween excitement, just stand out under the moonlight and let it fill you up like a gas tank. And one more, it is the Feast of Apples, too. And apples are an interesting fruit because they're symbolic of love, but they're also, you know... there's also, you know, that poison apple in Snow White, too. There is a ritual where if you make a wish, hold on to an apple. Hold that apple in your hand and really focus on what you want to transpire. What is your goal? Do you see yourself happy and loved? Do you see yourself healthy? Do you see yourself with a great job? Do you see yourself with all your debts paid? Whatever it is, don't see the problem. Focus on yourself happy with the problem solved, even though you know it's not true yet. Just focus on the happy outcome, and at midnight, take a bite of the apple. And it'll
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's a nice tradition. I've done that at a party. You
nice.
Know, you set their apples, sort of silently waiting for midnight, focusing on your desire, take that bite, and allegedly it will help your dreams come true.
So I'm basically going to be outside in the moonlight at a crossroads eating an apple.
Naked with the mirror.
Naked with the mirror. Exactly. It's going to be, I'm going to do all the things. These are really cool. Do you recommend anything for, I'm a crystal person. I work with my crystals a lot. Do you recommend anything for them as far as like bringing them outside?
Well, you can empower anything with the midnight moon on Halloween. Something else you can do is you can make moon water, which is you take some spring water and you just put it out in the moonlight, ideally in a crystal bowl, but in any kind of a bowl, and you can actually put crystals in it. You know, assuming you have crystals that will not be damaged by water.
Yes.
Then, put them, you know, do not melt your selenite, but,
Yes.
Put the crystals in there because it really charges them up. You're absorbing this incredible energy and this belief that, you know, all that empty space around you is actually filled up by magical creatures who we can't see, but that doesn't mean we can't feel them and absorb their power on some level.
Absolutely.
You know, availing yourself of all that energy.
I think anyone who's had those types of experiences with the other side or with metaphysical things can understand the feeling, even though we might not necessarily have the framework or the language to discuss it. Couple minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes till the break. And I would also, speaking of these entities, what is your advice for getting in contact with entities? We talked about that the phone lines are open. Do we need anything special to make the call?
Respect to good manners. Always.
Always.
Always. Yeah, that is always, you know, if you approach from a position of love and humility and gratitude and respect, good manners, then you will be fine.
Awesome.
And if you're afraid, never pull in anything you're afraid of.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm one of those people that's really not afraid of that side of things. I mean, it's all just energy, you know, and
it gives you kind of an immunity, because the problem with fear is that fear lures in the negative entities.
Yes, exactly. So stay positive.
Bears follow honey, and like the creepy, whatever is creepy out there, they can smell your fear and they like it. You know, and there are beings that you can call in if you're afraid, because they are so good, the archangels. So you're not left out of the party. You just have to choose your dance partners a little more wisely.
I like that a lot. So if you wanted to get in touch with, say, ancestral relations or spirit guides, that kind of stuff, that this is a really good time. And you don't need to do anything. You can just like visualize.
Yeah, you can. I mean, traditionally, if you're pulling in ancestors, if you're summoning ancestors, it's traditional to put out some water. Just put out water in an open, like a dish or a glass. Not a covered one, because you want the surface of the water, because that's very attractive to the dead souls. And often we appeal to them by making some sort of a food offering that you will not eat, because once you've given it to the dead, you know, that's theirs. And, you know, so the living eats the living's food, you know, but you could just put out, I don't know, if grandpa really liked a certain kind of tobacco or a cigar or candy, you know, cough drops, whatever, something that lets them know that you want them and that shows that you're caring for them. And if you're calling in ancestors and you don't know, you have no idea, you know, what they would have liked, then prepare something that if you had relatives from afar whom you'd never met coming to visit you, what would you give them? You know, what would you serve? Do that. And spirit guides, you really don't have to do anything. I find crystals very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't, you can just put that appeal out there and ask them, you know, be very specific with your language. That is the best advice I could give. Don't generalize, because generalizing leads you into trouble. You know, don't just, you know, whoever's out there, say, you know, I am looking for a spirit guide who, you know, who is kind and good and, you know, won't hurt me and won't haunt my house. But to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, be specific, use language you can understand. Don't say
intention.
Things if you don't know what they mean. Yeah, be careful. Hocus pocus, abracadabra.
Hocus pocus. That's awesome. Well, dude, this was amazing. I'm so excited to try a bunch of these different things in combination. And we're going to wrap up the show after this break, Judica. But first, when we come back, I have hoping you will talk to us about spellcasting a little bit.
Sure.
I'm really not familiar at all, so I would love to learn a little, and also maybe good spells for Halloween. So stick sure. with us, and we'll be right back.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism, passionate and caring. Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Pat. I am so thrilled. I've had the honor of working with Leslie Fontaine for the past year or so, and what she has created in her hit program, Sheer Alchemy, transcends what most of us get to listen to or hear in any point in time in our lives. But beyond that, Leslie is working with people all over the world, and she has created something phenomenal based on the feedback and input from the Archangels, from the Ascended Masters, from the Light Beings, and most importantly, from each and every one of you. So if you want to change your life, if you're ready to step into your own version of Sheer Alchemy, please give Leslie a call at 678-665-3366. And why? Because this is what you're going to be prepared to do. Be amazed, and on your part, connect with the Ascended Masters that are there to help you custom make the life that you are meant to live.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Judica Illis talking about all things Halloween. And in case you're just tuning into the broadcast, I just want everyone to know you will find me at the crossroads at midnight on the night of Halloween with my apple and my crystals, naked with a mirror and a bowl of water, and I'm going to be all ready. So if you have no idea what that meant, you might just want to take the broadcast back a little bit or go on the website to find out more. Judica's been sharing some really great rituals. And Judica, would you say these rituals, they're derived from pagan times or from other kind of like cultures that have been translated through, or where do we get these rituals from?
Yeah. But you know, I mean, there are magic spells, and magic spells are international, and they come from all over the world. And ultimately they come from people. So people tweak magical energy, and they come up with rituals and spells And then other people learn from them and they tweak a little more. And the next thing, we're standing at the crossroads naked in the mirror.
Yes. Yes. So tell us what is a magic spell and do they work? I'm real curious about
this. Yeah. I mean, people are often asked, you know, are they dangerous? And yes, yeah. Because you might, you know, because they might work and you might get what you ask for. So be careful.
Be careful what you wish for. It's true.
Be careful what you wish for. Typically the most, you know, typically if your spell doesn't work, you'll just be left where you were. But if it does work, you might actually get what you ask for. I'm going to give you a really quick explanation, but I do have a book, The Big Book of Practical Spells, and that book is a course in spell casting, and because that's a lot, it's a lot to squeeze into a small amount of time. But basically, the premise of magic spells is that there are magical energies that are natural, that occur naturally in everything. Colors have a magical energy, and plants have magical energies, all unique. Individual people have magical energies. Animals have magical energies. The ancient Greeks believed the vowels had magical energies. You go around the world, different schools of spellcasting will put value on different sorts of things. Roots are really common, the roots of plants, because they are in the ground, you know, where they know the secrets of Mother Earth. And that's a natural energy. And there are names for it in other languages. The ancient Egyptians called it Heka. We don't really have a word in English for that, so we have to, you know, keep calling it magical energy. But magic spell, and that magical energy is just there. It just exists. You don't have to do anything. You know, we react to it all the time. And, you know, we all know, we've all walked into a room and felt really good. Wow, what a happy room. You know, you just walk in and you feel good. And we've all walked into a room and it was creepy.
Yep,
and
totally.
Often in those cases, if you walk into that creepy room, sometimes if you just start rearranging stuff, you can make it better for yourself. And, you know, feng
shui. Move that stagnant energy around,
It's a magical art, exactly. Magic spells are an attempt to consciously harness these energies to achieve a goal. Every magic spell has to have two things. One is you have to have a goal. The more specific the goal, the more likely your spell is to work. So it's easier to cast a spell for, I'm not going to fight with my boyfriend, than I would love world peace, you know, because world peace is sort of big and amorphous and vague, but I really don't want to fight with, you know, this relative or this loved one. That's really direct. And magic spells need a person's desire. You have to want something or be afraid of something. You have to have a strong emotion. And that's really it. You don't have to be a brain surgeon. You don't have to, you know, you can teach yourself. It's a skill. You can teach yourself. I teach spell casting, and it's something that you can learn. But, you know, there's a lot of beginner's luck, too. And, you know, it is just, I think, the really basic primordial human art. If, you know, some people are kind of born gifted, and, you know, you might just figure it out for yourself also. You can use, and there's really nothing on earth that has not been used for a magic spell. You can cast spells with nothing but your mind and words. You can cast, you know, techno witches are casting spells on their laptops.
Techno witches. I love it. It's like the future.
It is new spells. You know, I have a book called Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells. It really does have actually more than 5,000 spells on all sorts of topics. And I could literally, you know, if I sat down and dedicated myself, I could do another 5,000 spells because each and every one of us could go home and just create new spells. It's always expanding.
What are the most common themes that people have spells for or are casting spells for?
Love, money, protection.
Boom.
Those are usually the big ones. You know, they kind of all go back down to that.
And are there any
people are afraid?
Yeah. Are there any for Halloween in particular, or would Halloween just make any spell stronger?
Halloween Halloween makes any spell better. There are spells. There's all sorts of spells. There's all sorts of, you know, I think whatever it is that you want, there are certain points in the calendar that are just more powerful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Halloween isn't the only night. So, you know, if you find yourself unable, you know, to go out there and cast your magic, you know, cast your spells on Halloween, there are other nights coming. So, you know, you don't have to wait for a whole year. May 1st, you know, that's a huge night. Yep. June, that's, you know, Midsummer's Eve, that's a huge night. Mm-hmm. So there are other times, but that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so interesting. And so do you have tips for people who they've never cast a spell or they're curious about casting a spell?
Think about what you really want and really think about, you know, even if you are not a magical person, spell casting has a lot of benefits. One of them is it will sharpen your ears. You really begin to be very sensitive to language. Think about what you really want and then try to express it in a very simple and direct way. And think about the words. Watch out for words with double meanings, because there are those, you know, because you might get what you asked for, but it might not be what you thought you asked for. Magic spells, to be most effective, are always cast in the present tense. I am happy, not I will be happy.
Yes.
The whole point of casting the spell is you're not happy.
Yeah.
But in order to make it come true, you have to visualize your success now, as opposed to, because I will be happy, you know, tomorrow never comes, essentially.
No. You're reminding me so much of kind of like manifestation. It's very similar type of idea.
Well, you know, there are people who will not like this, but manifestation derives from magic spells. They've just kind of taken the magic out of it. of positive thinking, the secrets, they're all originally, you know, the ancestor is the magic spell.
That is a fascinating way of looking at it. I mean, there's definitely a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, that's a conversation.
That's a great, well, I would love to have you back on the show. Seriously.
Thank you.
It would be wonderful to have you back on. We've only got a couple minutes left, and I would love to know, Judica, what are you doing on Halloween this year, 2016?
I will be in New Hampshire. I will be at the Under the Moon shop in New Hampshire, where we're having a Halloween party / ritual / workshop. We're going to be talking about spells.
Perfect. Well, I hope to see you naked on a crossroads sometime.
With our apples.
With our apples. I can't even. Not
waiting
even,
for the car to drive by with the Oracle.
No, seriously, I'm doing all the things. It won't even be slutty because I'll just be naked. And then it's not even, you know, it makes it totally different. Everyone, thank you so much, Judica Illis, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Kelly.
Seriously, one of my favorite shows. I'm so stoked. Like, I'm getting really excited now for Monday night. It's, you know, there's just a lot of magic out there in the world. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And all you have to do to see it is to believe in it. And so, you know, I prefer to live in a world that has magic in it. And so, therefore, I do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So thank you, Judica, again, for coming on the show. It's been wonderful. And thank you to everybody who's tuning in. You can continue to join us every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific. Also, find out more about the show at thelucidplanet.com. Find me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And all of the podcasts are free on lucidplanetradio.com, as well as iTunes and SoundCloud. This is episode 67. Woo! Next week, I have an interesting show. I have Kevin Hancock. He is talking about his iconoclastic memoir, Not For Sale, Finding Center in the Land of Crazy Horse. And it is about a businessman's journey deep into native country to find his own soul. And couldn't come at a better time, as we're witnessing the protests at Standing Rock, the peaceful water protesters facing off against the U.S. military and police. And so kind of feels like a really valuable time to think about what's really matters to us, money, corporate greed, or our own spirits, water, the earth, etc. So we're kind of at a human crossroads right now. So we're going to be exploring that next week. So stick with us, light and love, and I will see you then. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.